now for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Welcome into IUP Plus today. Grateful that you're here joining me on this episode, Rusty Cannon and Adam Gardner. Hi, fellas.
Hello.
Hi.
It is good to be with you. Rusty Cannon, the one and only, and Adam Gardner, the founder of ASG Consulting.
The founder.
Yes.
That sounds
very serious.
Me and Ray Kroc.
You and the KFC guy, the founder of KFC.
The moment Lindsay said it, I was like, oh, like the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it the whole time.
That was the McDonald's movie, right?
The title, yep.
Yeah.
That's producer Peter.
Hi, everybody.
And you guys need to tell me who you are and what you do.
Rusty Cannon with the Utah Credit Union Association here in Utah.
But and your opinions are your own.
Yes, my opinions are my own. Yeah. Thank you for saying
that. My opinions are also my own. And I represent ASG Consulting. It's a huge firm of me. And I represent clients in a lot of different industries, lobbying in Washington, D.C. and in Utah.
But you have some big deal clients.
Yeah, Rusty. Yeah.
And in it's the A and the S and the G, all.
All
ASG
of it.
In ASG Consulting.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, then you guys are the perfect people to break down all of these political headlines today. Let's start locally, shall we? Here in Utah, some Senate Democrats were trying to push the governor and legislative leadership to use some of the state's rainy day funds to fund SNAP benefits. We know with the government shutdown, SNAP may be getting funded. It may not. It may only be partially funded. At this point, I've lost track of who's funding what. But basically, the governor and legislative leadership poured cold water on that idea, basically saying rainy day funds are used for, specific purposes. It's written in law what you can use them for. Adam, what do you make of their ask, and what do you make of their response?
Look, I think it's a valiant ask. I think we're in a kind of a crisis here. What was really surprising to me was to find out how many Americans are actually on SNAP benefits. It's something like 40 million Americans or some crazy high number, in my opinion. Utah is very lucky because we have the lowest percentage of participation in the program, meaning, you know, we hopefully take care of our people. And I was happy to see that the LDS Church came out and said they donated 70,000 pounds of food to Iowa food banks and to other food banks. And when I was in church on Sunday, this was brought up. Hey, there's a government shutdown. A lot of people aren't getting their benefits. We need to help. And it was really cool to see, in addition to normal giving that like members of my neighborhood were doing, we stepped up even further to donate to Utah food banks. And they mentioned how you need to give cash and not food, because the food banks can go really far with that money. And well, it's cool to see a lot of people helping. What is not in the state's role is using the rainy day funds for this purpose. The Senate and House leadership are correct. This is not what it's for. In the past, we've used general fund dollars to help out funding national parks. We're not doing that again this year.
Yes, we are. We're funding national parks.
How much?
$8,000 a day.
Okay.
That's the reporting I did months ago, friend.
$8,000 a day. Clearly, I know, and I was on the show when we talked about it. It was so nominal, I didn't.
Clearly, you aren't watching my Twitter feed.
Anyone looking for background can go to abc4.com.
There you go. There you go. But they're different pots of money. To your point,
they're different pots of money. We're taking that out of an actual agency that's already been funded. The legislature isn't appropriating new money. And so for SNAP benefits, I don't think it'd be appropriate for this. If they want to meet in special session and do that, I guess they can with different pots of money, but not with rainy day funds. I think that's kind of inappropriate. But I understand the sentiment where the Democrats are coming from. It's just hard because it's the federal government's problem. They're in day 38, 39 of their shutdown. Get your act together.
Yeah, I think Adam makes a good point. It's a short-term solution that's the wrong solution. If we tried to do this every time the federal government malfunctioned, we'd be out of money in like 2 months. Right, I'm being facetious, but that's not what it's designed for. That's just knee-jerk thinking and short-sighted. I think it was a poor idea, and I think leadership's right. This is not something we'd even consider.
Okay, so you guys are both Republicans. We know that. But when you say stuff like this, I think some people hear Republicans don't care about the poor. What do you want to say to that?
I think that's ridiculous. I mean, what I think Republican principles get you to is private efforts, meaning non-government efforts in doing those types of things. There are many people that I know are as charitable as anybody else, might be conservative as well, and likely, you know, could be in this state, obviously. But that's the idea behind those principles, is that it's the private market or people themselves that will do these types of things to help their neighbor.
So
it is not
no
the
role,
government's role to do that.
No role for the health, safety, morals, welfare of
There is
people.
A limited role. Absolutely, there's a limited role with lots of barriers around it. It is not just an unending, ultimate, you know, Christmas tree that never stops giving. The government doesn't have any money until they take it out of a taxpayer's pocket. They that is the first place it comes from. It doesn't grow on trees, despite what they learn in Berkeley.
It may.
It doesn't.
We may print more soon.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. And that look what that got us with the hyperinflation. It just in all of the printing of money. It's just that is not the way the system would work. And so to your question, no, it's the principle behind non-governmental efforts in doing these types of things is a better way to go in the long run.
I think individuals have a large capacity for giving and for good. Utah is a special example. We lead the nation in volunteering. We lead the nation in percentage of income for voluntary charitable giving. We lead in all of these aspects of life and dealing with charities and nonprofits. We want to do good. And that's not a Republican principle or a Democrat principle. Everybody wants to help. I love the fact that when I'm like mentioning this a bunch today, but every Sunday I go to church, there is a new sign-up sheet to, hey, we're going to pass this around. Who's going to go volunteer at the Gail Miller homeless shelter and serve food? Who's going to go and make soap in the soap factory that we can donate to people? When I was a kid, we used to go as a family to work on a church grape farm. And all of that would go to make church grape juice, and we turned it into water. But to my point of Rusty's right, like these are not Republican or Democrat principles. The problem is when government said, I don't know if this is a transition or what, but Mamdani got elected last night or on Tuesday, and he gave the worst speech I've ever heard. It was great as a rah-rah, we're going to go get involved, but he mentioned that there is no problem too big for government to solve and no problem too small that government won't care about.
And that was a quote from a socialist from the early 1900s.
Right.
That's what he was quoting.
That's what terrifies me is he's saying, we're going to get into every nook and cranny of your life and we're going to care about it and we're going to try and solve it because it's government's responsibility. A Republican principle says it's not. Government should take care of the very least among us that are You don't want people to end up homeless. There needs to be government intervention. Every Republican I shouldn't say every Republican. I can't speak for every Republican. But up on the Capitol Hill, the people that I have worked with, even the most ardent conservatives, are saying we have to take care of the least among
Absolutely.
Us.
But is it should SNAP be not doing that? Isn't that what SNAP does?
Yes, but we're talking about tens and of billions of dollars a year that says we are one-size-fits-all government program. That any person in Utah living in rural Utah or along the Wasatch Front is the exact same as someone living in New York City or rural Iowa. People are different. Money is worth money's worth different monies depending on where you go in the world.
Well said.
But they're all administered the same. I don't like this one size fits all solution to every single problem. And is my party a big part of the problem on the national stage? Yeah. I think we mess up a lot. But here locally, look, the federal government made their bed. They got a lie in it. Fix your act. Mm. Fix your act. That's not a real saying, but get your act together.
Fix your stuff. Yeah, I hear you. All right. We'll come back to that Mamdani race in a little bit because I do want to kind of get the implications of that. But let's move on to something else locally here. The Salt Lake Tribune reporting that Ben McAdams is a shoo-in to run for Congress. Basically sent out some invitations saying we're going to announce on this day. Would love to have you there, whatever the invitation said. Obviously, they call it the worst kept secret in Utah politics. We all sort of know this. I will also note he's booked on Inside Utah Politics next week. So likely to talk about it there too. What do you guys make of the run? Obviously, we don't have congressional lines yet. Those are still tied up in court for a judge to decide on. What do you make of it? Go.
You know, I'm old enough to remember in the 90s, there was a gentleman named Merrill Cook. I don't know, Adam, do you remember Merrill Cook?
I do, because he's run 400 times.
Yeah, that's my boy. He just ran and
ran.
He finally won,
it?
And he got, I think, one term in Congress. But I don't know. He's Ben McAdams been around for quite some time now. At this point, he's been there, then lost a re-election.
Shouldn't that be more experience? Doesn't that bring him?
I don't know. I'm just more of the thinking of maybe try something else and you know go do some other things. But if that's something he really wants to do, you know, also maybe just pick a district and stick with it versus just floating in the ether of saying I'm going to run for something, which says I'm going to figure out where I can do the best and then I'll tell you where I'm running. It just seems a little odd to me.
Adam?
That's what's hard about these congressional districts not exactly being drawn. It's like you're going to run a campaign, and I guess all of our representatives have to face this same
thing. They're all waiting.
They're
in the
all
wings.
Saying, like, yeah. We want to represent you, but we don't know who you are yet.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know where we're going to end up. And there's some that are kind of set in stone. Like, I would argue Blake Moore up in northern Utah, he's going to stay there. He is kind of Mr. Northern Utah. I don't think that's going to change at all. We all think of Celeste Malloy as central Utah and southern Utah, Mike Kennedy on the eastern part, and we've always kind of considered Burgess Owens in the middle. So it's going to be interesting to see where they all kind of decide to run. I assume they'll all get together and decide where they're going to or talk to each other or what. But Ben has to make a decision, and he can't announce I'm running when he doesn't know that they're set in stone. So he's got to wait for this ruling to come down. I have been a council staff member for the Salt Lake County Council and worked with Ben while he was the mayor. I have worked and I had a fine time working with him as the county mayor. I was an elected official in Salt Lake County, a county elected official, and worked with his office. I didn't really work with him. He's very much a big picture guy, not an in the weeds guy. And so I did tax policy and was a part of the tax system for the county. We never worked with him on the tax system. He didn't care. And I'm not saying he doesn't care. We just never did. He was a big picture guy, a big thinker, and wanted to solve big problems. And so it'll be interesting to see who he decides to match up against.
Is that what you want from a leader, or do you want someone in the weeds?
That's a really good question. The answer to that question is I want both of those things.
But a Republican.
But I like people on my team. I'm not saying – look, and I'm not even saying Ben was hard to work with when he was in Congress. I think all of our congressmen, for the most part, regardless of party, have been pretty great to work with. They'll all take a meeting with you. They'll all – but even within the Republican Party, Senate and House, they have wildly different ways of solving problems. They have wildly different philosophies on government and who's pro-Trump and not. And it's kind of a hard system to navigate. The lucky thing is when a client or someone has a problem, based on their problem, you can identify someone in each one of those camps. I think the other problem that Ben McAdams is going to have is you want to solve big problems. I don't know if Congress is the place to go because they can't solve any problems.
Well, and you asked the question, you know, but you want a Republican. Well, but here's the problem. I mean, a candidate might, let's say it's Ben McAdams, run and say, hey, I'm Mr. In the Middle. When it comes down to it, you pick a party. And as was seen when he was in office, he will vote with his party virtually all of the time. And sometimes it will be on very controversial issues that are important to Republicans or Democrats.
Right.
So don't try to convince us that you're just going to be Mr. In the Middle. You will stick with your party, and that's the point. So when you say you want it to be Republican, well, yeah, because that's what we want those principles to go forward with what the party is doing.
Right.
And, you know, you can't convince me that he'll vote along with the Republicans.
It's a team sport.
On anything substantive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything
it's a team sport in the House. You all got to stick together. In the Senate, you can be a little different if you want. But remember, in a team sport, you're all picking your team captain, and it's going to be someone that's going to vote for Mike Johnson or Hakeem Jeffries. And ultimately, I think that's so in the weeds to your point, Lindsay, that do voters care about is it Mike Johnson or Hakeem Jeffries? But that's what we're kind of picking here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who he runs against, which lines, right? I mean, but that will be probably a decent matchup if we do see.
But we should know those lines by Monday,
by
right?
Monday, we should know the lines.
Yep.
And I have more congressional news. Go to our website, abc4.com, because I care about these congressional lines. And I've been doing a lot of reporting on it, and no one else seems to care.
It's very good reporting.
Anyways. All right, let's dive into something else that's happening with the U.S. Supreme Court, and that is this tariff conversation, oral arguments in front of the Supreme Court, President Trump's tariffs. The plaintiffs, they're claiming that he doesn't have the executive authority to create these tariffs. He's saying under this emergency powers that I have, because it's an economic crisis right now, that we need to have these tariffs. What do you guys make of the arguments? Where does this go?
I... I have been listening to the Supreme Court, just various clips of the Supreme Court questioning Trump's lawyer, the Solicitor General, who actually, the Solicitor General in this administration has won a lot of big, high-profile cases. So I want to, like, stipulate that, that he's not this terrible lawyer. But that he has been absolutely getting creamed by conservative members of the court. Neil Gorsuch had a great question that I think is kind of what we're all asking. He says to Trump's attorney, hey, listen, if the next president is a Democrat and he wants to say that the climate emergency is such an emergency that the same statutes and laws that you are suggesting would apply to this emergency, then we can tax every bit of oil drilling equipment. We can put a tariff on whatever we want.
Gas-powered cars.
We're going to make it so expensive and cost prohibitive that even though we're not saying that this is a war against China or Canada, because Canada ran a $75,000 ad against us and it hurt my feelings. what do you make of that? Can the next president declare such an emergency and use those powers? And he said, yes. Under this law, yes, the next president could do that. But we would argue that it's a climate hoax. And I think everyone was kind of just dumbfounded at some of those questions. But Coney Barrett, she had phenomenal questions to each side. And they were animated. Chief Justice Roberts, you could tell which way he was landing. And Trump's attorney would try and obfuscate and well, you know, theoretically, and then Justice Sotomayor would come in and say, will you stop stalling and answer the question? And he would say, we think you're right. And it was fascinating to watch. If we're just basing it on the line of questioning, Trump's tariffs are in real trouble, and thank goodness.
You know, you could see some silver lining here. I bet you could see the stock market rally as the Supreme Court, if the Supreme Court throws his tariffs out, because that has been a lid on the market. This is one area I don't know where Trump gets his school of thought on this. I've said, you know, for the last year, he's dead wrong on this. I don't get why his fascination is there with tariffs. I don't think they work. It is a tax on the American people. Their thinking is backwards. I've never thought it was a good idea. I hope the Supreme Court throws him out, because then he has no other way to just go about it and hopefully just moves on, because they were a disaster. Remember what happened this last spring as he rolled them out? The market tanked. And it got really shaky. He didn't really move on it until the bond market started falling apart. Mm-hmm. And then Bessent was smart enough to, you know, clue him in, and he finally backed off on it. I just think he has been dead wrong on tariffs. I wish he'd drop it. I can't believe a Republican administration had their attorney in the Supreme Court say what Adam said he said, which was, yeah, we think that, you know, that would work. Just like, are you kidding me? How short-sighted do you have to be and power-hungry on this tariff thing to say something like that? I hope they lose.
We talk about Republican principles on this show. You know, this is kind of like, I don't know if it's become a theme. Right, of this show. Ronald Reagan was extremely against tariffs.
Yeah.
A provincial government in Canada ran an ad just quoting Ronald Reagan saying that he didn't like tariffs and they weren't this beacon of freedom. Yeah. And then Donald Trump is so angry at this ad that he doubles or triples, I don't remember what he did on Canada. He punishes Canada and he raises the tariff rate over an ad. Are you kidding me? This isn't showing that Canada's been ripping us off for years, or the trade deal that I negotiated as president of the United States was bad in my second term. This was just, I was offended and I don't like it. And it's at the whim of the president. And then he says, tweets out, or truths out.
X is out.
you know, this is, Ronald Reagan believed in tariffs. And he, like, no, he didn't. We're just lying to ourselves right now. These are not Republican principles. They're not conservative in any way. It'd be great to see him change.
Interesting. We will see how that one shakes out for sure. Finally here, let's move to this New York City mayoral election. Zoran Mamdani beating Cuomo. Andrew, right?
Yep, one of them.
One of the Cuomos. There's a Chris, right?
That's the brother that was a CNN.
That's the CNN guy.
Chris Cuomo is on News Nation. Cuomo is the
Mario Cuomo. Former governor, his dad.
But that's the point. Mamdani beat the dynasty. That is the Cuomos, right? And what does it say? I mean, a self-described Democratic socialist in New York City. Two Republicans here. Guys, go.
I mean, he did win, but let's put some context into this. He ran against Cuomo, as you mentioned. He was literally kind of forced out of office because of some personal behavior problems that he's got, you know, around, you know, various things that we won't talk about. And then he was had such a terrible response with COVID. He's one of the most unpopular people nationally, but also in New York in a long time. And he's running. Then you had Eric Adams, who was running. He dropped out. Then you have, what's the Republican's name? Sliwa?
I call him
The guy with the beret.
The beret.
I mean, just all he was doing was pulling votes. Guy. I mean, I don't know why he didn't drop out. Yeah, those are factors, right? And so I think the president put it maybe yesterday or somebody said you had a thug or a communist. Like, I mean, that's a little brutal of a way to describe it, but that was kind of it. It's like you two terrible choices. So Mamdani won. You got to give him credit. But I think the context says something there. The people are focusing on that nationally. But as we were mentioning earlier when we were talking about this show, no one's paying attention to the moderate wins in Virginia and Georgia that I think are more seismic, showing that if Democrats come to the middle, they can compete and win. That's something that maybe the Utah Democratic Party could consider,
Adam,
but I don't think they are going to.
Does that happen? Maybe it would happen here. Does that happen, though, in the midterms for Democrats?
Well, I think what's going to happen is I'm excited to see what the shift looks like, because Democrats are either going to run towards Mamdani or they're going to run away from him. And Republicans do not have a good record on the economy this past year. And I think in the midterms, because they don't have a great win and tariffs are a big part of that, I think they are just going to point the finger at New York and find every bad thing that's going to happen, because it will. If he actually does what he says he's going to do, it's going to be a disaster. So they're going to keep pointing to New York City as, is this what you want if the Democrats get elected? I don't think that's necessarily a winning strategy. But in the past, both parties have found success running against something rather than for something.
Rusty, what do you think the difference was with some of these moderate Democrats that took governorships in Virginia and New Jersey?
Yeah.
What was the difference this time?
Well, the difference in not only in tone and strategy and just the whole way they talk about things. As Adam mentioned, Mamdani's speech was completely unapologetic and even further down the lane that he wants to run. Of like, I am not apologizing for being a Democrat socialist. That's literally what he said. Go ahead and run with that nationally, Democrat Party. Like, go ahead, please. If you want that to be your you know, who you want to have a picture with and run with, go for it, because I think it is a losing strategy. Versus what scares me as a Republican is Democrats coming to the middle and being reasonable and following through on that, and then
reasonable
they can compete.
Reasonable Democrats
and win.
Scare you.
Well, from electoral sense, I mean, yeah. I'd love to have them there, but so I think they can't get through a primary.
Yeah,
so.
Interesting. We shall see. We'll see if it impacts Utah too. Thanks, you guys, for your perspectives today. Rusty Cannon, Adam Gardner. I'll put in a plug to watch Inside Utah Politics this week, because we are talking with the League of Women Voters about redistricting, because some of us care about redistricting.
We care. It's a big deal.
It is a very big deal. That's why I don't understand why no one cares. You saw the polling from the Deseret News, right? That was only a third of people are
paying
attention.
But we care that you care. We care that you care.
Do you, though? Because yes. I want to
I support Lindsay.
It. Okay. See that? They support me. All right, so 8 and 4 on Sundays, ABC4 is where you can watch Inside Utah Politics. And we're expecting a ruling on the redistricting case by Monday. So in Tuesday's episode next week, we record on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we will talk about that for sure. Thank you for being with us. Tell your friends, and we will see you next time.